We got David Eales joining us. David, you there?
Yes, sir.
Praise God, David Eales, end time prophetic teacher and preacher. We bless God. What's your website again?
It's americaslastdays.com.
americaslastdays.com. As you know, David Eales has been on Watchman Radio over the past almost 5 years, on and off. So isn't that just a blessing? So, as usual, I'm sure the Lord has pressed something on your heart, David.
Yeah, I've been seeing a sign that the Lord has given me many years ago that was going to come to pass before the tribulation started. And it's been happening under our noses. I think a lot of people don't see it. It's basically a coming together of a new Sanhedrin, not the one in Israel. As you know, the Sanhedrin has been restored in natural Israel. And you know also that they were the corporate false prophet in the day of Jesus that crucified the body of Christ. And now they're being restored in natural Israel, but a lot of people don't know that they're also being restored in spiritual Israel, and that there is a false prophet, a corporate false prophet being raised up in our day in order to begin this seven-year covenant. And first I'd like to say that in everything that has to do with the church is already written in the Bible. Everything that's going to happen is already there. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 tells us, now these things happened unto them, that is natural Israel he's speaking about, by way of an example. And the word example there is a Greek word that means figure or type. And they were written for our admonition, and of course he's speaking to the Corinthian church here, so he's talking about the church, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Now, in that day, they were at the end of an age. It was the end of the old covenant, and now we're in the end of an age, too. It's the end of the new covenant, and again, God is raising up a persecutor to the church, a false prophet, a harlot, a beast system. All of these things are coming to the forefront, and they're there already, and what the Lord showed me was that this congregation of false prophets was going to be raised up just before the tribulation started. And it was going to be what was considered the leadership of God's people. As you know, Constantine, in the earlier Roman Empire, gathered together the leaders of all the religions together at his round table in order to keep peace in his kingdom. He had wars between the religions, and so he decided this is the way we're going to solve it. We'll gather together the respected leadership of all the mega churches, you know, and they'll keep things in order because we'll pay them good. We'll give them political power, all the things preachers like, you know, power and money and esteem, and so that's it. Did it worked pretty good for them? Okay, well, guess what? We've got a modern-day Roman Empire that's doing the exact same thing, because history always repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So, once again, there is being raised up a corporate body of a false prophet. There is no place in the Bible, by the way, it says there is a false prophet. It just doesn't say it. In the book of Revelation, it likens it to a beast. Beasts in the scriptures are always corporate bodies. Daniel spoke about the beasts, you know, and every place he spoke about the beasts, they were corporate bodies. Now, there is a religious corporate body that's coming up among the secular corporate bodies of this world, and that is the false prophet. And in the Bible, it's always likened unto a group of people like it was in Jesus' day. Well, guess what? It's happening again. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you from the scriptures that it teaches that this is going to happen. In Ezekiel 19, I can't tell you the whole story. I got to give you the short version because obviously we don't have that much time here. But in Ezekiel 19, there is a story of Israel who is likened unto a mother lioness who brings forth young lions to rule. And the first young lion in that parable was Jehoahaz and his administration. These people were called the princes of Israel. Verse 1, moreover, take thou up a lamentation over the princes of Israel, corporate body of people. Well, that was Jehoahaz's administration. And before you know it, they're taken captive to Egypt. And then the mother lioness raises up another young lion to rule. And that happens to be Zedekiah's administration, who are also the princes of Israel. And what do you suppose happens? Well, you know, when they were taken captive to Egypt, that was one of the first beast empires, you know. But then there's Egypt and Assyria, and Babylon was another beast empire. It happened again there, you see. And he tells us about that down in verse 8. And then the nations set against him. Notice that they're calling him the princes of Israel, a corporate body. It does the same thing in Ezekiel 17. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces, and they spread their net over him. In other words, they captured the leadership of God's people. Now, we know it's natural Israel here, but that's a type and a shadow of spiritual Israel in our day, which is the church, spiritual Israel, right? They were broken off of the olive tree called all Israel, and we were grafted in because of faith in Jesus Christ to the olive tree called all Israel. See? So, he spread their net over him. He was taken in their pit, and they put him in a cage with hooks. Hooks, like a hook and bait, you know? In other words, they were lured into bondage by a hook with bait, by hooks with bait, okay? And brought him to the king of Babylon. Babylon, of course, was the great eagle that ruled over the nations. You remember the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2? At the head of the image of the beast was the head of gold, which was Babylon, whose symbol was the great eagle. The great eagle at the top of the image of the beast, which was what? All nations of lost mankind. Now, here we are today. Same things happen, folks. We got the U.S. over the U.N. The great eagle over the image of the beast, which is the corporate body of all lost mankind. I don't know if you read it or not. 1 John 4 tells you that Antichrist is everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in them. Okay? So you see who Antichrist is, folks? It's a corporate body of people all over the world. Now, the same story is in Ezekiel 17. Oh, before I get away from here, Ezekiel 19, do you know that after he captures the leadership of God's people, the very next thing that happens is that the mother goes into the wilderness in verse 13. And then chapter 20 mentions 10 times that they went into the wilderness to separate the wheat from the tares. Now, it didn't say wheat from the tares, but that's what it's pointing out. Okay? So, the wilderness is what? Well, Revelation 12 and 6 tells us that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is called wilderness. Revelation 17 and 3 tells us that the second 3.5 years under the beast, the second beast, is called the wilderness. So you got 7 years of wilderness. This is a 7-year covenant that is called the wilderness. So here, the first thing that happens before the wilderness is the leadership is captured and brought into bondage to Babylon. Now, if we're going to tape our type and shadow seriously here, we're going to see that America is going to bring into bondage the leadership of God's people for a purpose.
That's right.
And that is to rule as a corporate false prophet over the people of God. Now, in Jesus' day, when they ruled over the people of God, they persecuted and they killed the body of Christ.
That's right.
Now, I'm telling you, that's a type and a shadow today of what's exactly going to happen. Now, let's look at the story. Ezekiel 17. I can't give you the whole thing, but I can tell you where you can go get the whole story afterwards, okay? So I'm going to jump in the middle of this, kind of. Verse 12. Say now to the rebellious house. Now, folks, that was Israel, but today it's the church. Rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, came to the capital city and took captive, right? The people of God, the leadership of the people of God, came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof and the princes thereof, notice, the whole corporate body of the leadership, And this is actually physically happened now, I have to tell you, okay? The king thereof and the princes thereof, and brought them to him to Babylon. And he took of the seed royal, he's talking about a corporate body of leadership again, and made a covenant with him. There it is again, folks. We're talking about a corporate body. Just like Jesus became a corporate body, the beast became a corporate body, the false prophet became, the harlot's a corporate body, all these are corporate bodies. If you're looking for a man, you're going to miss it, okay? It says he took the seed royal, made a covenant with him. There's your covenant right there. And he brought him under an oath and took away the mighty of the land. Now, when I read this years ago, I got to this verse 13 and the Lord spoke to me. Since I've been a year old in the Lord has been giving me word of knowledge and wisdom. And he spoke to me and he said, count how many verses in which the word covenant is made from the beginning to the end of when the word covenant is mentioned in this chapter. Count. I counted. There were 7 verses. He said, that's 7-year covenant of the tribulation. Okay. Then he said, count how many verses before the covenant is broken. And I counted from verse 13, and I counted 3.5 verses, exactly when the Bible says the covenant is broken. And it literally says there, I'll read to you, it says, verse 16, as I live, saith the Lord, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. So this rebellion of this leadership, a covenant is being made with the leadership of God's people. It's going to be broken in the middle, but you'll have to notice, folks, it's not the beast that breaks the covenant, it's the apostate leadership of God's people that breaks the covenant. Now, wow. The beast makes the sacrifice to cease, and I don't have time to go into that right now, but the people, the leadership of God's people are going to rebel in the midst of this covenant. Wonder what it is. Mm. What happens in the midst of the covenant? Well, I'll tell you one thing that happens. The mark of the beast. Do you realize they're so ignorant that they will be bought out by political power, just like in Constantine's day, by money, to make a covenant with this, what they think is God's country here, which is not. God only has one country. It's called Israel. You know, he's not talking about natural Israel. He's talking about New Testament spiritual Israel. That's the only nation that we have. That's our nation. We have a nation that covers the globe. And all of the nations are going to hate our nations and make war against our nations. You'll be hated of all nations, Jesus said, for my name's sake. Who was he talking to? Israel. Okay, but now we're spiritual Israel. We've been grafted into the olive tree, which he called spiritual, which he called all Israel. Okay, so in this covenant, you read down through here and you see that in the middle, this rebellious leadership breaks the covenant, then, which is contrary to what God commanded him in Jeremiah 27. He told them, submit to Babylon. I've given them authority over the earth. I've given all these lands under their hand, and all nations shall serve him, Jeremiah 27:7. And the nation that doesn't come under his authority will I punish with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, and I will consume them by his hand. Let me tell you, when this rebellious leadership rises up against this nation to fight against this nation, they're going to squash them. They're going to squash them. Exactly like it says here, exactly like it says in Jeremiah 27. And this literally happened, folks. They rose up, they rebelled against the covenant that they made with the beast, and the beast squashed them. And now it's coming, folks. They're going to squash them. You better get out of these apostate denominations, because they're joining together under the beast. Okay, listen to me. It's happening. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I don't have time to go through this part, so I'm just going to read this to you. I'm going to go on to something else. I'm going to tell you that just as Constantine raised up a false prophet to gain control over the people of God, the same thing has happened in a modern-day Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire, with America at the head of the UN gathering all the nations together into a one-world covenant, a religious covenant. And now, some of you think that this covenant is with natural Israel, but I'm going to point out something to you. In Daniel chapter 9, what happened was when the Messiah came and the Messiah was killed, the people of Daniel changed. The city of Daniel changed. 70 weeks are determined upon thy city and upon thy people, right? Well, the people of Daniel changed because God broke them off of the olive tree and he grafted in the believers. The city now, Paul said, we belong to that city which is from above. We don't belong to a natural city called Jerusalem, but a spiritual city. We are the city of God. The bride is the city of God that is being born out of heaven, okay? So this is all happening, folks, but they're missing it because they still have their eyes on natural Israel, which is the type and the shadow, not the fulfillment. The church is the fulfillment in the New Testament, folks. You're going to miss it if you don't understand this. The church is the fulfillment. And they're all blind to it because all they see is the letter. All the leadership have been blinded by the letter, okay? So what's going to happen? Well, it's happening now. Reverend Sun Moon of the, listen to this, Unification Church.
That's right.
What do you think his job is, right?
Maniac, yeah.
He claims that Christ failed in his mission, so he himself is the new Messiah who's come to finish the job. And his job is to unite the world by uniting religious forces. Quote, That's his job. That's what he said God sent him as the Messiah to do. Okay? Wow. Now, almost all of the well-known evangelical Christian leaders and their organizations are beholden to this man. They owe him. He takes his work real seriously. He's a billionaire, and he has targeted one after another the influential leaders of Christianity with hook and bait. He's bailed them out of their problems. He's given them grants. He's bought out their debts. He's given them a position of political power and prestige. Same thing Constantine did. He brings them just what their lusts desire. And he's built these organizations, the Council of National Policy, the Coalition of Religious Freedom, the Council of 56 of the Religious Roundtable, and others. And you know what he does with these organizations? After he's gained the favor of these men who are greedy for gain and power, he puts them in these organizations so that he can associate them with, the leaders of the Central Intelligence Agency, the Council for Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, Freemasonry, and they're all tied to the Bilderbergers.
Right.
Okay, now this is happening. It's been happening for years. It's about to wind up now because they've captured them all. Listen to me. They've captured them all. And this shadow government that we've been talking about, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers. So this shadow government is joining the leaders of apostate religions together as a false prophet of unity to the masses of Christians who don't know that they are the harlot being sold into bondage to the beast.
Wow.
History repeats as the apostate leaders are set at Constantine's round table to build an end time Catholic, which means universal church. See, that's what Constantine put together, a universal church. This is a new one. Everybody's thinking, oh, the old Catholic Church is coming to rule and reign and persecute the saints. No, it's not. No, it's not. The daughters of the harlot are putting together their own Catholic church in this day. And they're raising up a modern Catholic church. All of the mega churches are joining together. Listen to me. They're all joining together in this organization.
Wow.
The front man is Sun Myung Moon. He's the front man to join these people together with the government, with the beast. Now, we're coming to a war. We're coming to great trouble. All these people are going to join together. Not just them, but on the other side of the stick, there is the UR, United Religions, which is joining all religions. See, I'm talking about just the Christian religions in the United States, but the UR is joining all of the religions. The WCC, World Council of Churches, is working at that too.
Wow.
The World Conference on Religion and Peace is working at that too. The Millennial World Peace Summit at the United Nations, by the way, which is the beast over the harlot, right? Formed a permanent council of religious leaders to advise the UN on preventing and settling disputes. The same thing Constantine did. Exact same thing.
Ecclesiastes
now,
1, yeah.
Is that called the Parliament of World Religions? I read something that the Pope had started. It's something called the Parliament of the World Religions.
Wow. Yes.
And every major religion comes together in the UN to meet with the Pope. Is that
That's exactly right. But it's not just the Pope. He's only one of many. Everybody's trying to put this on the Pope, but he's only one of many.
Wow.
Look, if you think of all the major known evangelists, leaders, pastors in the United States, the mega churches, they are part of this.
Wow.
Listen, the only ones that aren't a part of this, listen to this now. If you don't think they're not going to force you into this, folks, do you know that the Senate is investigating five ministries, right?
Yeah, we read about that.
Very interesting. Okay, yeah. Now these people have plundered God's people. These ministries have plundered God's people. They don't look at all like Christ or his disciples. They're greedy, okay? But all of these people that have joined with through Moon with the beast government, they've done the same thing. The only thing is, none of them have been persecuted. The only ones are the people who haven't joined in the group.
Wow.
That is the ones that they're investigating, okay? You think, see what's happening here. Are they trying to send a message or what? You either join or we'll target your taxes. We'll target
wow.
you. We'll get you, you know? And so what's happening is they're forcing everybody into this through fear of the federal government to jump into this thing. And guess what? They are putting together another false prophet for the harlot church. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to persecute the true church. But you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a civil war in the midst of their party, folks. It's going to be right here in America. You can't imagine where America's about to go. I know because God's told me there's going to be a civil war in America. And you know who's going to start it, believe it or not? Some of these preachers are. Yes, they are. They're going to rebel against the king of Babylon. Some of them are not just going to walk away and give up their tax-exempt status, folks. They're going to grab their guns. Yes, they are. And they're going to join with other conservative groups. Notice in Ezekiel 17, there is a war between the great eagle with great wings and what? The great eagle with great wings. Well, you say, yeah, David, but the first one is Babylon and the second one is Egypt. That's right, Babylon and Egypt. Okay, but how many great eagles with great wings do we have here in the world? We only have one. Okay, so what are we talking about here? Well, those preachers went down to Egypt to get a defense and to fight a war with the king of Babylon. God said, never, ever go back to Egypt. Why? It represented the old man, the Egyptian who drowned in the Red Sea, right, in the baptism of the Red Sea, while the Israelite, who was the spiritual man, came up on the other side. He said, never go back to Egypt, because why? It represents bondage to the old man.
Wow.
So, you know what? These people who are in bondage to the old man are going to take up their weapons and fight with the king of Babylon, which is America, and guess what? They're going to lose their war. God is going to cleanse Christianity by a war against these people. But you know what? America's going to be weakened, and the Russians and the Chinese are going to march in here and take over.
Wow.
David Eales.
Yes, sir.
Awesome message. We're getting ready to burn rubber out here. We're down to the last minute. That was a hardcore word going out tonight.
Can we have a part two?
Yeah, there's going to be a part two on that.
Because
that's very deep. What I like about David is he brings in a rhema from the old into the new. And because he bases everything on Ecclesiastes 1 about things that happen shall be again. Right, David?
Yes, sir. Yes.
We praise God for you, Brother David Eales, and we're getting ready to burn rubber out of here saying farewell. David, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. See you next week. Farewell. Watch on radio.